Warning, the following podcast contains Scottish people, and as a result, they will potentially use offensive language in their discussions. So don't be a c*** and turn it up.
This is the ICW Fans Podcast. Welcome to part two of Kez Evans. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children over the age of 18, this is the ICW Fans Podcast. We're here for part two with Kez Evans. So, Kez, I'm just going to get right into this. We've got a couple of questions for you here. A lot of these are from fans, a lot from the listeners.
Ugh.
Aye, and I've got some things he'd like to ask you. So, first question I've got from Fiona. Who's been the biggest inspiration in ICW for you, and who's helped you the most?
Me.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Cool, thank you. Next question from Brian. Lionheart had such an influence on you as a trainer and on your career. What lessons did you take from him that's going to carry throughout the rest of your career as you go forward?
Right. I'll draw back the curtain here. I'm not a big fan of using these types of terms and telling this type of story, but I think it will do Lionheart, Adrian, justice. And I know it's corny to say, but see, if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would be where I'm other day. Because without Lionheart, I wouldn't be a heel, a bad guy.
Okay.
Because when I started, I was a good guy. I was all right.
Aye.
I was fine. I done what I could. Yeah. I was a good opening match. Good opener. That's what I knew I was good at. And then one day in training, it was probably 2 years into it. Just a wee drill, switching back and forth. One person plays good guy, one person plays bad. Then after that, feedback, first thing he said was, you'd be so much better as a bad guy, as a heel. And BT agreed and said aye. And then from then on, I think that was when we just started, because we were still doing our, what would they call it again? Night of the Asylums £5 wrestling. And then I think we had like a show the month after, or at the end of the month, sorry. And I think they all got together and says, can we switch Kez? And I turned on Leighton, and then yeah, the ball started rolling there. And if I didn't turn then, I wouldn't have got to fight Ken Anderson, either. Because that was like a month after I turned heel. It was during the training session, and I didn't have my phone on me. And everybody came up and they were like, oh, well done, well done. Because we all knew, like, because we had Mr. Anderson for a seminar. And what happened back then was we'd have a seminar and then they'd have a match. But we, all the trainees at that time, thought, oh, it's got to be one of the coaches.
Aye.
And then during the, I think it was a Thursday, and they all went, oh, well done, well done, well done in the match. And I'm like, oh, what's fucking going on? Because the coaches didn't even tell me either. And I just saw on our private page at the card, and it was me at the top, and I'm like,
fuck.
Oh my God. And then I injured myself, like, a week later.
Yeah.
Still done the match, but now my shoulder's a bit fucked because I didn't take the time off, because they took me off a show before and then put me on with Anderson, because I specifically asked, don't take me off it, please. Don't take me off it. So I went on a wee tangent now.
No, but
if it wasn't for Adrian and BT, as much as I hate saying that name. I wouldn't be where I'm the day, because I would have probably still... my issue was back then that I was very complacent and wasn't wanting to... I'm like that now. Like, if I like doing something, I'll stick to it.
Aye.
And what I'd done there was I was a good guy. I liked... I tried to be basically see Sami Zayn when he started.
Yeah.
I tried to be like that, but I'm like, why am I not connecting with the fans as much? And then I realised, oh, it's because I'm a fucking cunt. And it took for Lionheart to say that, and then me trying out for a match to then realising,
aye, I'm pretty good at being a fucking cunt.
Aye. And I don't need to do as much. Nice. I can make the other guy look better, because that's, in my opinion, that's what a heel's job is.
Yeah.
To make the baby face
look good.
Mm-hmm. Nice. If a heel comes out and their job, they think their job is to go out there and steal the show, I don't think you're a good heel.
Okay.
If you go out and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, it's going to be so cool, it's going to be this, you're not a heel to me. Why would I, like, I don't want matches. See, every match that I have, I don't want folk leaving that venue to go, oh, that Kez Evans match was fucking brilliant.
Right.
I want them to go, I'm fucking raging that he won again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pay a ticket to go to the next show to see him lose, because that's what I want to fucking see. That's how I think heels should be nowadays. I hate the cool heel.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a heel. That's why I take pride in what I do.
Good.
I don't usually boast, but I'm pretty good at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We've got many, many more fan questions about this. We'll get to in a little bit. We'll see what they think.
God.
So, you mentioned an injury there a little bit before Ken Anderson. So... how did it feel to win the square go in the manner you did? With it, because obviously it was a wee ankle injury there, allegedly. And how did it feel getting that kind of reaction?
Brilliant. It's obviously one of the ones. It is a big, big jump. I mean, I did face Ilya at Fear the month prior, or 2 months, sorry. So it didn't feel like a big random jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was getting established then. Mm-hmm. But it is one of the ones where, how are they going to react? Are they going to shit on it? Are they going to just all leave and no care?
No.
So, me doing that ankle thing, I've got, if there's one thing you should know about me, I've got very flexible ankles. So if you pause and look at that 40, it does look legit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm absolutely fine.
Cool.
But it was extremely long, because they didn't have the fucking briefcase next to Simon. They had it all the way in the back. So if you go back and watch that, me pacing around the ring, that's me waiting on the briefcase. And that was me just legit hyped up. Fucking here we fucking go. I've won this briefcase. Fans are fucking raging. They're all fucking...
I think I was hanging over the front of the barrier, just fucking falling.
Raging.
I mean, the reaction when the last competitor's finally through with injury, and then it's just pop up, last person's out of the ropes, and there is almost a sudden cheer and pop for the fans, but it dies down. It's not like a major thing, and then when you get the briefcase and you leave, it's just... middle fingers, screaming, bawling, fan, and like every single fan at Racing Ringside in your face. And I think it was like caught off surprise, like, yes, fuck, it's Kez, it's one, shit, I fucking hate this guy.
Aye.
it just turns on a knife edge, basically. I think it was like a surprise pop. I'm like, oh, yeah, great. Oh, wait, no, hold on a minute, it's Kez. No, we fucking hate him. Mm. And as you say, like, most people probably went to the next show to buy a ticket to hopefully see you.
Because they see somebody slap him about.
Aye.
It's not happened yet, but they can still keep buying tickets. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So another one from you. This is just a question from us in general. What was it like going back to the now very upgraded asylum for the Fight Clubs? Also, it was quite unknown, foreseeable at the time to be a wrestler in front of, you know, an empty arena. You spent a lot of time doing that. What was that like?
Surreal. It's so weird because obviously you've been doing it for so many. Like, I don't know how folk that have been doing it for 15 years and that felt then.
Empty arena matches all the time, essentially.
You could see some of their faces just like, what the fuck is happening?
Aye.
So it was very, very strange at first. But honestly, I think it's a blessing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for others, I know. I'm not going to say it is. I'm not going to say. Like, for me, I improved a lot of things because there was no fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't want complete silence for an hour and a half with matches.
Yeah.
More vocal.
Yeah.
Work on the wee things that folk would they notice on a live show.
Mm-hmm.
Even promos. I've still struggled. That's one of the things that I will always need to improve is promos, because I flub my words a lot. You'll notice with even recent promos, there's always going to be one word that I fucking struggle with.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I can't say I've noticed, I'll be honest.
But if you watch it back and I'll say the word, you'll go, oh, right. And it's one of the ones I'll say it and I'll panic and I'll just rush on to the next one. That's my thing. If it wasn't for these shows, I probably wouldn't have improved so much. I honestly think, see, during these closed tapings, I've improved 10 times more than what I was beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a completely different environment. You do need to change how you'd normally work.
Because
you're normally tailored to perform in front of fans.
You really get a reaction out of somebody that's not there now. So.
Yeah. So now you need to perform for the telly, for who's watching there. So you need to start focusing on other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, at the time, it was shite.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
Because, obviously, I miss all the fucking smelly fans. I don't miss the smell, the fucking... It's called shampoo. Called fucking soap. Google it. But I miss winding them up.
Yeah.
So for me to go out there and there's nothing, it was weird. But looking back,
I suppose
it's that not knowing if you're getting the reactions that you're wanting to get, because you're.
But looking back, I have improved my in-ring work.
Yeah.
And my promos as well, because I had to get out my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy doing a promo in front of fans and you don't need to focus on one person.
Mm-hmm.
But to go out in front of no fans and knowing that there's two or three folk back there that are definitely watching.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird, but see, the less people that are watching, the more pressure it is when you're doing like a promo.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that. I mean? Aye.
Whereas if it's a big crowd and they're going to fucking react to whatever you say.
And you get the buzz fit, it keeps you going, whereas if it's two people just staring at you,
I get that.
So, and plus it looked, the set and that were fucking...
The set is incredible.
Beautiful.
Aye.
Brand. It was really good.
It was really good.
Aye.
So that wasn't an issue, it was just the whole, and plus it's cold in there. Even there's no 150 folk.
Aye.
Cold, you get blown up. Well, I don't get blown up easily.
No.
Because I'm fit as fuck.
Mm.
Top guy. I mean, when we used to go to the Night of Asylum shows and that, it was freezing cold, so, you know, a Fight Club taping more harder matches.
And, I can imagine.
You know, even ICW Bard, so...
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine. And
it was a blessing in disguise, basically. Aye. At the time, we were like, right, how are we going to make this work? See, that's the good thing about ICW and the wrestlers in it. The only time I'll fucking big up the other workers, because I hate them all, is we all know how to make things work.
Yeah.
We've no fans. Right, how are we going to make this work?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Like, we know how to adapt. That's the beauty of ICW.
Mm. Yeah.
So it was a challenge, but honestly, if you go back and watch a good chunk of that time, they're all solid. They're all solid episodes.
Good mark.
Yeah. And plus, it's brought up a fair new folk, bringing in new folk into that environment. And they've shunned. It's, again, a blessing in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
glad.
It's been adapted, and you know, Fear and Loathing, you had many up and coming names for GPWA, like Cairo, Charles Vice. You've got other people, Ian Skinner, Angel Hayes,
Moxie Malone,
and everything. They're all coming through on the network. The Manifesto as well. As you say, it's a blessing in disguise. It's brought a lot of talent. Obviously, you had your NXT UK guys.
Zero, don't forget Zero.
Oh, hell yes. Right.
His character is.
Yes.
Aye.
It stresses me out a wee bit.
Aye, but. Aye.
If we could spend the next hour talking about Zero, I'd be happy. I love Zero.
Yeah.
Because that entrance alone.
The entrance, yeah.
Ugh. The twitching and the.
I was going to say, just his entrance is enough for you to. Literally, you're just like. Mm.
Fucking brilliant.
Absolute brilliant. Quality character worker.
Yes.
Very much so.
It's proper, like. Old school character, you know, like Undertaker. It's like, it's like a proper character, and you build into it, and aye.
And like people are genuinely a wee bit kind of creeped out. They're just like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah.
Aye, so that's the beauty of that new.
So many up and coming talents.
Yep. So many new up and coming talents.
Well, you spoke a little bit about how much you fucking hate everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So yourself and Craig Anthony.
Who? Who?
The guy we you were in a cage with.
Yes.
What was that like? So, big fight through Legendary Barra's Market, the ballroom. You know, what was it like to kind of experience that with this person?
Well, I've never ever been in a steel cage match until that match. That was my first ever time. And that was my first ever time performing in the Barrowlands, technically, as well. So... couldn't he happen to a fucking greater guy, Craig Anthony? I will say this, he did push me. He did push me to my limits. So I just had to break his fucking arm. And I've not seen him since.
No, we have not.
And all I know is it doesn't take that long to recover from a broken arm, so he's obviously just hiding away.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Pussy.
Okay then. So... you've been fairly dominant within ICW for the last 2 years, it's safe to say. You've defeated many top stars, many former heavyweight champions. We can name a few, DCT, BT Gunn, Jackson, many, many more. But, who would you say right now is the biggest threat to your championship, Ryan?
Nobody.
Okay, no one at all?
No.
Alright, thank you. That was a question from Louise.
Stop asking ridiculous questions, Louise. Thank you.
So, the manner you've won, not only the 2020 Square Go, the Zero G Championship, and most recently, the actual World Heavyweight Championship. Being a bit questionable where you've done all of these, would you call yourself the ultimate opportunist?
No. What have I been saying for months now? What has been my... I'm not even going to say catchphrase, but what have I been saying? I've been saying everything I say... I do. I ain't going into specifics. I said I was going to win 2020. In fact, we'll go further back than that. I says I was going to beat Ilya.
You did.
I beat Ilya in 8 minutes. 8 minutes. This is your current NXT UK champion. Beat him in 8 minutes. I then says I was going to go into the 2020 Square Go and win it. What did I do?
Won it.
I won it. I then cashed in... and dominated the Zero G division. Why? Because I says I was going to do it. And guess what? I done it. And now, most recently, I says I was going to take over ICW. And how do you do that? By winning.
Oh, fuck.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Sorry, we appear to be getting interrupted there, but...
I'm going to continue anyway.
Aye, please do.
By winning the ICW World Heavyweight Championship. And what happened?
You won it.
You done it.
Ultimate opportunist is just people that are going to blame folk for doing something that they don't have the balls to do. I done all that stuff because I knew it would get results.
Yeah.
Did I fake an injury? So what? I won it. It's not going to come up in the win-loss record, asterisk, oh, he faked an injury. No, it's going to say Kez won this, mm-hmm. Kez won that, Kez won that. So the ultimate opportunity is, nah.
You just do what you say you're going to do.
Yes. Basically, I'm saying I've got balls and the rest of them don't.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, back into a couple of questions for some of your fans and listeners. One here from Lewis. And he would like to know, can he have a shot at your title?
No.
Okay, anything else? Yep. Stay up. Cool. Next one from Catherine. Who would you really like to see as your first victim for your title? Since you've just, you know, handled Wolfgang the way you have.
It was so sweet as well. Because who was my first ever match 6 years ago in that very building? Who was my first ever opponent, singles? Wolfgang.
Wolfgang.
Pure poetry. Yeah.
Ah, yes,
now he's challenging me for my World Heavyweight title. Pure poetry. Honestly, any victim, I don't care. Really don't care. Because that's all they're going to be. Victims. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, that was, what, Wolfie's second match back in ICW as well. So, I mean, Wolfgang is a well-known main star, but yeah. You're sort of, not to quote the Shewells, but putting him in a place that he's no longer, he might have been a top guy.
That's no beat around the bush. He was my coach.
Yeah.
Was my coach.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot more when he was away. So him coming back, and he's obviously thinking, oh, this is just going to be his trainee.
Yeah.
He's just going to put him in his place. But nah. Cheers for the Nux, Wolfie. That's what I'm going to say. Cheers for the Nux.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, thank you. So the next question I've got for you here then is from one of our listeners, Stephen. And who would you like to face one day in ICW?
As in anybody?
Anybody at all?
Anybody. Just because it would piss folk off, Drew. Drew McIntyre or Galloway, if you want to be one of those folk. But aye, Drew. Just so I could see the look on folks' faces when I beat them.
Oh.
I would like to think it'd be the same atmosphere as Lesnar, Taker. If I did. No, not if I did.
When?
When I beat him.
When you beat him.
So I drew, that's my answer.
Drew, okay, cool, cheers.
And that kind of kicks into Westy's question as well, if you got to pick a...
Ah, well, tough, they asked it first, Louise.
What event would it be at? Add into that question for him. Would it be Squared Go? Would it be...
Fear because Morgan? It means so much to me and because I debuted on it, Shugs.
Shugs.
Right.
Kez versus Drew, Shugs, World Heavyweight, ICW Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. Yes. Nice, okay. So Shugs.
Could happen.
Okay. So we've got a question here from Reese. What would your dream match be? And what would the finish to that match be?
Match with Eddie Guerrero. And the finish should be whatever he wants it to be. Because I would just be... Oh, it would have to be the DQ with the chair, wouldn't it?
Aye, of course.
It would have to be that. Aye. But then I'd be so trying so hard not to mark it.
I thought you were going to say hit him with it.
No. Well, maybe aye. But aye, Eddie. And it would be that fake DQ.
Nice.
Nice one. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Another one from one of our fans. Ryan, one of the listeners. So you've won the 0G Championship. You're currently the reigning heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to change or decide to go after the tag titles, anyone you would like to tag with to do that?
Kez Evans.
Just you, an exact
yes,
clone of
yes, another version of me.
Right, cool. Cool. Just an exact clone of you.
Yep.
Nobody else.
And be like the two Undertakers.
Aye, cool. Aye. We'll get a fake Kez Evans.
Aye.
What are your plans for ICW champion? And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
My plans are whatever I want today. And for the next 5 years, whatever I want today.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Louise, if you've not enjoyed my answers, but I just don't care. I don't care, hen. That's what you're lucky that I'm answering them. So.
Okay, thank you. So, you've got some previous merch.
Yes.
Enemy for Life.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, we're recently seeing this in your actions. definitely, especially with BT Gunn as of
late. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see more of this throughout your career? Do you think it could have repercussions for you later down the line, or?
I don't think me and BT are ever going to stop. I don't think it's ever going to end.
So, like, was that, yeah, I mean, let's face it, BT Gunn's an icon. Mm-hmm. XW's, there's not another person in the company that's done anything that he has done, but throughout his career and the matches he's been in,
I've done the most damage to him.
Aye, you're the only person that's not only put him on the shelf once, but you pretty much nearly ended his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then most recently, you had the building evacuated. You tried to, I can only imagine, crush his windpipe with a chair, and you stood there, not even smiling, you just stood there and watched it. But
well, here's the context. Why do you think I'm like that, Wim?
Well, see, this is the thing. It's your enemy for life. I mean, you've already took out Craig Anthony. So is it going to be a case of you just keep reoccurring and, as you say, it's never going to end with BT?
I hold grudges, mate. See how this all started? When he was undisputed champion, he took me under his wing. Even before that, before all that, the undisputed championship, he took me under his wing. He says he was going to get me bookings. He says he was going to do this. He was going to do that for me. And I've been an idiot I was. I believed it. Done it for months under his wing, carrying his fucking bags, helping him with after matches, helping him train, all that. And then he became undisputed champion. What happened? Pushed to the wayside. Okay. Oh, I can't do that right now, Kez. I'm too busy. Oh, I can't train. Too busy. Oh, I can't get you that booking. Yet he promised me all this stuff. He promised me. And then just pushed me to one side. So that's why I done what I done at Shugs all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm still holding a grudge now, because he's never fucking said sorry. He never thinks he's on the bad side, so.
What if he did apologise? Would that change things? No?
No.
Make it worse?
Yeah, well, he's took too long to fucking realise it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I don't think he ever will realise it.
Yeah.
Because if you've been listening to what I've been saying about him, he's too fucking stubborn. Too stubborn. Too set in his ways. I know what he's like.
Mm-hmm.
I've trained with him for years. I know what he's like. Too stubborn. He'll never change. Therefore, I'll never change. It's like Batman and Joker. Except he's just a fucking joke. So there you go.
Okay, thank you. So, 10th annual Square Go is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You are about to face off against Mark Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts and opinions going into that match? Do you think Vicky, being at ringside, could cause some issues, despite the new match rules we've got imposed? Do you think?
I'll say this to Vicky right now, she better stand at the wayside. Because what I'm going to do to Mark is going to be 10 times worse if she tries to get fucking involved. Right? No knocking Mark. Mark's a world-travelled name.
Oh, definitely.
He's made his name in the US. He's reigned over Ireland. He's currently doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking stranglehold on that place. He's took over in London, in England, and now he's trying to come up here and do the same.
Nah,
pal. He doesn't realise when he walks into Scotland, steps his pinky toe into Scotland, he is now in my fucking world. And I don't think he realises that I will do whatever the fuck I want, whatever I can, to make sure that I am still the world heavyweight champion. And I don't think he'll realise that until the very last second of that match.
Yeah.
When whatever I do is going to fuck him up so, so badly. So I.
Okay.
Mark, bring it on. I need the top talent to show that I am better than the top talent. And Mark's a top talent, but I'm better.
Okay, interesting. Well, I do have one more question, I'm going to circle back to it. First of all, I'm going to ask anyone in the room present right now, anyone get any questions they would like to ask, anything you'd like to know, now is your time. Gentlemen.
I don't know why everybody looks at me even.
He's sitting right there.
I can see him. Why is he all looking at me?
I'm just looking around the room.
You get any questions?
No, I'm good.
I think you should ask the last question.
No, no.
I don't think I've
asked. What's the last question?
I'll get to that in a minute.
Did we mention the new rules and kind of what your thoughts were on the new rules?
I approve.
Aye.
Yes.
Do you approve of all of them?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Too much fucking chaos. Don't know what the rules are. Folk are just doing whatever the fuck they want. What's stopping somebody from coming in with a fucking sledgehammer and trying to cave my skull in? You don't want that happening to your world champion. So I approve of... I don't know what Theo calls them. I like to call them Theo's Law. But I approve of Theo's Law.
Okay.
Okay.
So, just quickly then, before I get to this last question, mm-hmm. Anything you want to ask us?
No, what's the last question? That's why I...
Okay.
Why he's kind of dancing around that question.
Right, okay. So the last question, by the way, everyone that's out there, Kez, where can we find you on social media?
Twitter, KezEvans95. Instagram, KezEvans95. Facebook, KezEvans.
Brilliant. So you've heard them, please... and follow Kez on all of his social medias, every platform, all his socials you can find. So this last question we've got for you, it is mm-hmm. no doubt the biggest and most requested question we have had. It came from at least 12 different people.
Right.
So I've not written all the names down, but that question is, right. Why are you such a fucking arsehole?
Oh, no, hold on. Oh, no, are you kidding me on? No, what are you laughing for? No, what? I'm being just serious, what are you laughing for?
Just because I get asked a lot.
You've dragged me out my bed, out of training. I've fucking, like, came here. How long have I been here for?
A couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. Took 3 hours out my day that I could have been training, eating well. And you think that's fucking funny asking that one question. When I've poured my fucking heart and soul out, trying to make this a good product, and yous are fucking laughing at me, asking me a stupid question like that, when yous all know that would get a rise at me. So why, I thought yous were professionals. Like, you were laughing before it, you knew, yous had that waiting all this time, and yous are fucking making me look, nah, right. You're welcome for the time, I'm done, right. Bye.
I mean,
fuck.
Well,
just cut it, Craig. Just cut it.
So that was part two with Kez Evans. So we would like to apologise for Kez's behaviour there. We didn't mean to offend, and we apologise to any fans that were not satisfied with how that situation was dealt. Thank you for listening anyway, and we'll catch you next time on the ICW Fans Podcast.